This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
When you want to go back, maybe what Michael was covering off earlier makes you say, oh, geez, I got to check that out. We also made mention the last Thursday segment where we were talking about taking out food and kind of eating local. Well, do it simply by subscribing to the Kelly and Company podcast. Any segment, you can go back and check out, or you can listen to the complete show in its full form where we also toss on the end an audio vanity card. So that's the Kelly and Company podcast, available using your favorite podcatcher. Just simply search for it and subscribe. Rami Amuthan, Kelly McDonald, hosts of Kelly and Company. Thanks for being with us.
Let's now learn about a building navigational system that empowers users by helping them navigate indoor environments independently. We're going to talk more about this with the general manager of AccessiBuild, Jeff Godfrey. Jeff, thanks for coming on Kelly and Company.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We're really excited to talk about navigation. We spoke about it just about a week ago when it comes to navigation around a hospital in the Greater Toronto area. So exciting news as things move forward with these kind of projects. Tell us a little bit about AccessiBuild and what its mission is.
So AccessiBuild was built to be a low-cost solution to the indoor navigation problem, really. And it's meant to help users navigate independently with a customizable system. So it's meant to be repurposed for different users because obviously we all understand things a little differently. So it's a very flexible system. It works on both iOS and Android and works with assistive technologies like VoiceOver and TalkBack. And the customizable user interface allows you to select different options, such as the level of detail for instructions or the different wording for directions and distance units, because we all understand things a little bit differently. So for things like directions, we allow the user to select either, you know, clock face or plain language like left or right, compass directions. And even for distance units, we can convert the units into different measurements. So we can use feet or meters, or personally, I use steps because honestly, if you told me to walk 10 meters consistently, I couldn't really do that. Mm-hmm. So That's cool. Make it so the user can calibrate it to their gait.
Yeah, some interesting options when it comes to it. Let's come back to it just a second. I'm just kind of curious of how long has the company been around? Have you guys been kind of planning out things, getting in projects that maybe you were working on before? Tell us a little bit about that history so we get an idea where you guys are coming from originally.
Sure. So I was working for a construction company, actually, that does 3D models of buildings. Oh. And this was just before Bill C81 was released. And I noticed the Bill C81, you know, it had mention of the built environment, but I didn't think that the technology we were using, so it's called LiDAR, which is like a laser scanner that creates very accurate 3D models, was being used for accessibility.
Right.
So we started actually prototyping with it in late 2018. When Bill C81 came out, to see if it was something that would be, helpful to users, and see if it was possible to build a navigation system on this architectural data.
Wow. Okay. So, can you also go back to explaining how the navigational, the wayfinding works?
So, for the wayfinding, really, our system is, think of it as a map, really. It's an architectural map that you have access to. So you don't have to be on site to use this. You can be wherever. It's just fully accessible. And it guides you around based on where you set your departure and your destination points to be. Now, to help with the wayfinding part, we have QR codes that are put on signs around the building, depending on the different points of interest. And you can actually scan those and it'll tell you where you're at.
So when you look at usage, you would, so if you were reached out to And they said, listen, you know, we want to make this this place accessible and empower people for getting around it. Say it's a, you know, a community college or something like that with certain, you know, buildings that they want to make possible. Obviously, the mapping is done in at some form when it's built, like you say, you were talking about with LIDAR. Do you guys call upon that info, or do you have to go and put that info in yourself, set it up, as well as then use your QR code signs? Can you walk us through that process?
Sure. There's a couple different options for actually getting the data. For more recent buildings where they have accurate architectural drawings, we can actually work from those already.
Right.
So we don't need to go on site and acquire any data. We just have to plan it out and pull the data that we need for the app from there. For older buildings, generally there aren't accurate architectural maps, so we'll go in and use the LIDAR scanner and build the 3D model ourselves. And then based on that, we come together with you know, the building owners and discuss how their building is used, because that's one thing we've recognized. Every building is a little bit different, and it's not just the structure that's important, but the flow as well.
Yes.
So we're working on a couple different projects right now that are, you know, they're like night and day. Let's say we're doing the Museum of Science and Technology in Ottawa. We're doing a pilot project there. And we're also doing a large mall. So the Pacific Center out in Vancouver. And we're doing all of that remotely using, you know, virtual reality and models that we got from a partner that we have out west.
Nice, nice. Now, again, I look at all that. I take that info. When we talk about the QR codes, and that would be that thing that you would utilize for that person finally walking in, getting the layout, knowing where things are. If they're looking especially for a particular thing, they may have done their homework before getting there. They get there, and that QR code is going to be the identifier for the particular stores they're looking for, or allow them if they want to explore as they're in there. Is that kind of the way to imagine that?
I think so. But for me, the QR codes are kind of a nice to have. You know, a well-trained user likely won't use them very much. They won't
right.
need them because most users that I've spoken to, they like to simulate their routes in advance.
Mm-hmm,
you know, yep. before you go to that building the day before, you're going through this route and it's giving you all the routing instructions that you need to know. So you have an idea when you get to the building exactly where you need to go and what the layout is.
Great.
For sure.
So often you're just following that.
Yeah.
The QR code is just a nice to have, you know, it's that security of verifying that you are at that location.
Right. Excellent.
So this really is something beyond just like what, at least what I've known as beacon technology, where you walk into a situation, you use an associated app, and you can tell where different things are or how close or how far you are from the particular beacons. But, you know, this adds the preparation portion to your travels.
Right, exactly. It's like an accessible map that you're carrying with you everywhere.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is once we've set it up and you've installed the app and downloaded the maps, you actually don't need a Wi-Fi signal or any data plan or anything like that. It can be used totally offline.
Also, I would imagine to update it, not a big deal either. If somebody, if it's in the case of Pacific Mall, if some stores move out of there, which is going to happen, and are replaced by others, easily enough to rectify and just go in. And when you're, oh, I'm going to go to Pacific Mall, I better check for the latest mall update.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's for the building owners to update that information. It's a simple web interface that they go in and just change the name of the store and maybe the description, and then it updates it through our system, which will let the user know that there's an update for the app.
Excellent. So with some of the pilot projects you talked about and just the phase where you're at right now with developing AccessiBuild, tell us about what the feedback's been like.
So far, the feedback's been very positive. Most of our testing has been remote. And, you know, I'm a believer that, you know, there's the theoretical application of something, and then there's, you know, what really happens when you're in person. And that's really the part that's been held up because of COVID. Obviously, we're being very cautious. But so far, all the preliminary results for remote testing have been very positive.
Any partnerships, Jeff, you want to shout out or that we should know that are working along with you guys?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, from the beginning, we reached out to Canadian Council of the Blind. who we've been in continual contact with, especially for testing and things like that. Mm-hmm. I myself am sighted, so I rely on the user's feedback and their experiences with the app. And so they've been a big partner. We've actually mapped their office in Ottawa. So that's actually available on the app right now. We've also worked with various tech trainers at CNIB. So we have the Sudbury CNIB hub mapped. That's also available on the app currently.
Very nice.
And then we have a partner out west that's helping us, who's been involved in indoor navigation for a long time, called Gateway Navigation. And they're very much involved in all the West Coast projects. They're a great resource, and they've been doing this for a couple of years, and they even have, you know, architects as partners, visually impaired architects. So really nice to have all those resources, and they're very talented people. So
excellent. Anything that you want to shout out that is kind of like a potential plan or something that's being worked on currently in addition for this app?
We're in the process actually of releasing the bilingual version. We're in beta testing for that, because obviously having both languages very important for especially government projects and you know, our various provinces. We're always working on new things, such as right now we're working on integrating Be My Eyes, so that if you do need sighted assistance, you're able to get that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the major features right now that we're working on.
I think that's, again, another game changer with it. If you're able to get in there, you know, in a situation where you can use it, where you can reach out to them, that would be tremendous. So cost of downloading the app, and then you said Android and on iOS, it's available. Any cost?
No, the app is totally free to the users. The only cost is really for mapping the building and then generating the proper map for the AccessiBuild app.
Well, it's really
and
exciting
no
stuff, Jeff.
Cost either.
Well, that's amazing. And as you said, there are more things to be implemented into the apps and external collaborations and such. But it is very exciting, because I love the prospect of so many different options for so many different people in the disability community. And, you know, if it's that you'd rather just pick up the phone and call Ira or call Be My Eyes to get that sighted assistant, or you want to get some of that pre-planning out of the way and check out an app like this, or you're used to the Beacon technology, all those apps are now available out there for people to try out, right? So it's great that you guys are in the game, and I really appreciate you coming on to talk about it. Where can we go to get more information about AccessiBuild?
So the best place to go is probably our website, which is www.accessibuild.ca. And you should be able to get most of the information there.
Jeff, my one question is on the updating. Whose responsibility will that fall on? So if Pacific Mall, they invest, they take the time, everything gets done, they're on the system, on the app, and you're utilizing it, and you know, every once in a while, stores, as we talked about, leave. Is there a general way that they will, how can I put it, feel the need to update to make sure that that information is going to be available?
Yeah, generally it's the building owner that would verify that. As you know, as you change tenants, this should become part of their process where they update it. But we also know that some of the things fall through the cracks, so we'd like to give options for users to provide feedback as well, you know, in case something is missed.
Excellent. Great. Glad to hear it.
Thanks for coming on the show, Jeff. Hope we can catch up with you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
We were speaking with the general manager of AccessiBuild, Jeff Godfrey, about their wayfinding navigation system.
You know, it's interesting, that trend of looking things up before, you know, people who are going on that journey, and many people do. And that's what I wasn't sure about the QR codes. And when he made that mention that, yeah, a lot of people want to look ahead and know it, all that information of the stores would be there. You just have to hope that that's something that the mall does, you know, update, because there's so much movement that happens. You want to be sure, because that'd be important. But if enough of us are using it, it's worth it to them. We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen. When we return, it's time for Know Our Rights.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.